And so, on behalf of everyone whose story could only be written in the greatest nation on earth, I accept your nomination to be President of the United States of America.
When Vice President Kamala Harris became the first woman of color nominated for president by a major party,
Georgia, how do you cast your vote?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here tonight to officially nominate Kamala Harris for president. DHC, turn out for what?
She added another significant marker along the political journey of Black Americans who have seen progress and setbacks in their path to full participation in the political process. For the generations of Black men and women enslaved, the very idea of a Black president seemed impossible. But Barack Obama proved that dreams do come true. And now the possibility of another who is also a woman? Who could have imagined America would advance this far? There may have been a glimmer of hope in the years immediately following the end of the Civil War when historic changes were made.
You get the 15th Amendment that's ratified, and you do see an explosion of black men voting in particular. You see, and because of some other provisions around former Confederates who couldn't vote as well because they were considered to be, insurrectionists. What you see is you see the emergence of a black political class in the South in the 1870s and 1880s. You see a number of members that are elected to Congress, several members that are appointed to the U.S. Senate, black folks. You see, black folks in almost every part of the South who are elected to the state legislature. You even see, at least for a short period of time, a two-month period of time, a black governor in Louisiana. So you see a real significant, mature black political class emerging in the 1870s and 1880s as a consequence of the 15th Amendment.
As Dr. Sekou Franklin, a political science professor at Middle Tennessee State, points out, that political success did not last long.
A state like Louisiana had 100-something thousand plus black voters, and it went down to maybe like 1,000 because of the vicious backlash.
The decline of Reconstruction began in the late 1870s, and those days of hope for black America were replaced by the brutality of Jim Crow. Laws were passed that severely limited the civil rights of the newly freed, including rights to voting access. There was widespread segregation in public spaces, jobs, and violence and intimidation were the order of the day, with lynching used to control and oppress black America.
So of course, that backlash was enforced by, was helped out by massacres in some cities, and also a federal court, the Supreme Court especially, that became very racist and very anti-black.
Pastor J.C. Owens, born and raised in Arkansas, remembers the days of Jim Crow.
In 1939, I was born in 1939, and I guess when I was a small boy, in the 10th grade, I began to see my grandfather involved in politics. You know, they would send somebody around, no matter where you lived in the country, in Dallas County, they'd send someone around to your house, you know, to talk to you. And they want to pay your poll tax to make sure you vote for who they want you to vote for. But my grandfather, he didn't really have to beg white man or anything. He wasn't going to check out we own black people on the land. So he kind of had made his own way. And he never really had to ask him to give him some money to pay poll tax, because he kind of made it, at least he's headed when time to come to vote.
Memories of those days have been passed from generation to generation. Matt Mixon, a retired media executive who lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, can still recall some of the stories he heard as a child.
There are large parts of my family that are from the state of Mississippi. And there was a period of church bombings. And one of my uncles had land that was adjacent to Sweet Home Baptist Church. There was an attempt to bomb it, because there were political meetings going on there. And the bomb didn't go off completely. So my uncle sat on his front porch for several nights with his shotgun across his lap to protect the church.
It would take more than half a century for black voters to regain their power at the polls. The civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s delivered the Voting Rights Act of 1965, a landmark piece of federal legislation that prohibited racial discrimination in voting. The Justice Department considered it the most effective piece of federal civil rights legislation ever passed. Over the years, African American voters leveraged their political clout and became supporters of the Democratic Party. In 2008, America elected its first black president, Illinois Senator Barack Obama, a Harvard-educated attorney married to Michelle Obama, also a Harvard-educated attorney.
E pluribus unum, out of many, one. Now, even as we speak, there are those who are preparing to divide us, the spin masters, the negative ad peddlers, who embrace the politics of anything goes.
Voters elected Obama to two terms in the White House, and both terms he won with a staggering percentage of the black and Latino vote. But elections in the 21st century have been decided by increasingly small margins, and the required 270 electoral votes to win the White House have made the so-called swing states very important.
Well, I say to them tonight, there is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America. There is not a black America and a white America and Latino America and Asian America. There's the United States of America.
Those are the states up for grabs, which can be won by either the Democratic or the Republican candidate. Wisconsin is one of the swing states. Mixon uses his media expertise to help mobilize voters, holding workshops and emphasizing the need to be informed about the issues, especially among young voters. And he also keeps an eye on access to the vote.
We had to fight with the city. We lost the most traveled voting center in the city. The largest percentage of votes came out of one location. It was in a shopping mall. The owner of that property decided he didn't want to rent it to us anymore. So we lobbied the city. We found out that there was a place nearby, an old bank, and that's our new facility, and we're celebrating that. We celebrated also getting drop boxes back. That was a fight with the city. It was a budget consideration that they had, but we were able to get those reinstated.
In many states, early voting started weeks ago, including in Wisconsin, where Mixon is also involved in Souls to the Polls, a popular Get Out the Vote effort.
Now this year we have two early voting Sundays, and typically Souls to the Polls, Wisconsin, turns out many churches. They come by busload after services on those Sundays to cast their vote. I'm optimistic. Weather is always a potential factor, but even though we get rain and sleet sometimes, we show up.
For most Americans, it's still hard to process all that's happened in politics the last few months.
Take a look what happened.
On July 13th, Donald Trump was the target of an assassination attempt while he held a rally in Pennsylvania. 8 days later, President Joe Biden dropped out of the presidential race. Mixon was a delegate at the NAACP convention in Las Vegas when President Biden delivered a speech and was still the Democratic presidential candidate.
Joe Biden came and he shook the place up.
My name's Joe Biden, and I'm a lifetime member of the NAACP. And I am all in.
He was extremely well received, and even though it was a very large room and I was not physically close, I could look up at the big screen to see him, and I enjoyed the moment. I was surprised when I discovered that, you know, a few days later, he was not going to be the candidate. I think even though a lot of black people love Joe, there was a quiet relief that I think many felt with Kamala being the new go-to.
Donald Trump is an unserious man. And the consequences of him ever being president of the United States again are brutally serious.
3 months later, Vice President Harris and Donald Trump are spending the last days of the campaign in the swing states. Republicans, disturbed by Trump's affinity for dictators and his disregard for the rule of law, have joined Harris to campaign. Liz Cheney courted Republican voters alongside Harris in the birthplace of the Republican Party in Wisconsin.
Every one of us in this election has a duty and an obligation to do what we know is right for the country. And that's to support Vice President Harris. So I'm very honored to be here and to do that.
It is one more sign that this is not politics as usual.
You're not voting, you need to get someone shut up, because you got no say. You got no power. When we vote together, we have power.